ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast. And now, today's message by Pastor Bob.
The following broadcasts were first recorded in the 1990s when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House of Representatives. We present them to you today because the topic is just as timely now when kosher conservative politicians are betraying the best interests of white Christian Americans.
Politically active Christians, especially conservative Christians, commonly called the Christian right, have been sold a bill of goods. They have permitted their movement, their candidates, and their elected officials to be absorbed and silenced by the Republican Party. Specifically, the new Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich, has taken the party down the same old road of political compromise and dirty dealing. And with it, Gingrich has also trashed the causes, the issues, and the interests of conservative Christians. But my friends, Christian conservatives are not the only ones being hurt here. We must realize that some people simply do not vote on the basis of their faith. They vote on the basis of a party's and or candidate's platform, that is, what the politician stands for, or they vote on strictly an issue-by-issue basis. But by any measure, Gingrich and his lackeys have lied and sold out the trusting voters of America. Perhaps most worrisome and alarming, it now appears that Gingrich has thrown in with the ancient conspiracy against Christ, against the Christian faith, and against we Christians. Yes, I think that Gingrich has shown his true colors, and he's joined up with all the anti-Christian, anti-American special interest groups we have identified in previous broadcasts. But as I have said earlier, Americans have been fooled again. And yes, that's right. Newt is not a friend of Christian Americans, but he is beholden to, he is in the back pocket of, the pagans, the apostates, the homosexuals, the socialists, as well as the Jews. But of course, these are the same powerful special interests who virtually own the Democratic Party. These are the special interests that so dominate the party of Bill Clinton that they have become synonymous with the words sin, corruption, and national decay. In short, these are the very reasons why most voters threw in with the Republican Party in November of 1994. Now, with that brief background, perhaps it would not hurt us to turn to the book of Psalms and read from Psalms chapter 2, or Psalms 2, verses 1, 2, 3. So let's do so. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, I for one believe that Gingrich, as the most celebrated publicized leader, or king of the house, if you will, I believe he has taken counsel with our enemies against the Lord God and against us, that is, against God's anointed. And now I'm going to begin in these broadcasts to show you exactly how Mr. Newt, as Rush Limbaugh fondly calls him, how Mr. Newt has joined the worldly kings in saying, let us break the bands of Christian Americans asunder and cast away their connections and influence from the Republican Party and the United States Congress. And so I would ask you, ladies and gentlemen, how better to accomplish this kind of a conspiracy than to pretend to be a friend of the conservatives, a friend of Christians, and a friend of old line Republicans? You know as well as I do that many Republicans are famous for faking it for many years in order to get Christian American support and then throw in with the anti-Christian world elite and lease their policies. And as examples, the former Senator Barry Goldwater and President Ronald Reagan immediately come to my mind. But now we have Mr. Newt, who lavishes praise on the late Chairman Mao Tse-tung, the former leader and king, if you will, of the Communist China. He also lavishes praise on a man named called Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, as far as I'm concerned, was the first communist president of the United States and builder of the New Deal. The New Deal was also known to some people as the Jew Deal because of the identity of its bureaucratic administrators. But anyhow, the Jew Deal was the first platform of the socialist welfare state in this country. And now Mr. Newt says that he's proud of the fact that he's a revolutionary politician, just like Chairman Mao Tse-tung and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Well, I don't think that's something to be too proud of myself. But he says he wants to bring about, in his words, a change or a third wave. And we know that this change is based upon the advice of his number one political consultant, that is the Jewish futurist named Alvin Toffler. You know, it's very interesting that Mr. Newt never defines this third wave. So I guess we have to guess at exactly what it is. And I guess we could say that communism has manifested itself in three waves or three ways, because historically we know that communism formed the basis of the Soviet Union and Red China, and these could be considered the first two waves. And if so, that means the third wave of communism is international communism brought about through the United Nations. And of course, in his works, Mr. Newt demonstrates that he wants to make sure that we are in that third wave. But how do you do this? Well, to make sure that America joins the third wave of communism, Mr. Newt and company came up with something they call Contract for America. That's right, the Contract for America. Now, what is this Contract for America? Does it call for abolishing the socialist welfare state? No, sir, it does not. As a matter of fact, Mr. Newt has proposed that the federal monies for socialist welfare simply be given to the states for distribution to the people in what are called block grants. In other words, it's socialism or it's welfareism as usual. Only now the states would simply become agencies of the federal government. So Mr. Newt wants to expand the influence of federal government by converting the respective states into bureaucratic federal agencies, which for all practical purposes is a reality anyhow. So Chairman Mao and FDR, Mr. Newt's admitted heroes, had their communist manifesto authored by the Jew named Karl Marx. But Mr. Newt has his own communist manifesto, and we call it the Contract for America. In one respect, Gingrich's critics are right. This thing is not a contract for America. It's a contract on America. And somehow, Mr. Newt has convinced nearly all of his fellow Republicans to sign on with him in supporting his contract on America. And of course, this reminds me of Proverbs 29, verse 12, which tells us that if a ruler hearken to lies, all of his servants are wicked. And I cannot think of a more applicable comment on the condition of the Republican Party, the new party of the Reds, the Jews, and Newt. Now, I realize that up to this time, I have not been too specific. But as we proceed, we are going to take a closer look at the sellout of Newt Gingrich and the Republican Party. And I've already touched on some of this material in previous broadcasts. For example, we found out in our series of broadcasts on homosexual power that Newt, Mr. Newt, that is, and many of his cohorts are the biggest friends in Congress of the homosexual lobby. For a last count, Mr. Newt has never opposed a single bill proposed or supported by the queer lobby, and he has voted for all of them. And now listen to this. Did you know that Mr. Newt has posed for the cover of the homosexual magazine called Out, that's O-U-T? That's right, he posed for their magazine. Now, the word out refers to homosexual technique of exposing each other's homosexual practices, and it comes from the phrase coming out of the closet, which means that the secret homosexual, for political or other purposes, makes his homosexuality known to the public. So now Mr. Newt has posed for Out magazine, and the Out magazine is described to us by the Washington Times as, quoting now, the glossy monthly devoted to the homosexual and lesbian world. And as journalist Cynthia Grenier states, quoting her now, interesting, the cover picture of Newt is really very flattering. Well, flattering as it may be, I don't understand why he's done such a thing. We can only surmise that the gentle treatment of Mr. Newt by the homosexual lobby is payback for his constant loyalty and support. But how many of Mr. Newt's conservative Christian supporters know about his homosexual advocacy and how the homosexuals in return feel about him? We have also learned in broadcasts past that Mr. Newt's two primary political advisors are the Jewish futurist Morris Schechtman and, as already mentioned, Alvin Toffler. And journalist Susan Baer of the Baltimore Sun describes Schechtman further as a change management consultant. In other words, Schechtman, like Toffler, looking for change. That is, they are looking for the third wave. And as one Brave magazine reports to us, they say, quoting again, "The Tofflers are pro-choice, oppose school prayer, and consider conservative Christians very dangerous. And this does not faze Baptist Newt one jot. Politicians long ago learned to grant Jews special dispensation in such disputes," end of quote. Yes, the Tofflers are Mr. Newt's advisors, and they are the people who represent everything that Mr. Newt stands for. These people are not Christians, they're Jewish, and they are opposed to Christian involvement in politics and government. They are opposed to a pro-life Christians and Christian prayer in public places, among other things. And you certainly won't be hearing this kind of information over the 700 Club. Now, the purpose of this series is to get to the truth about Newt Gingrich and other Republican Party sellouts. You see, too many conservatives and Christians are buying into the lies and deceit of those pseudo-conservatives. And as a result, Christian Americans end up supporting the very kinds of programs and the very kinds of sins that they hate. Now, as we said previously, the contract for America is more like a contract on America. Because after the legislation is actually written and passed by Gingrich and his fellow kings, it turns out to be just more and more of the same old socialistic programs. Now, before we get to some brand new revelations, I want to repeat just a little information shared on a previous broadcast. And this material is necessary as a foundation for getting the bigger picture of Mr. Newt and for understanding what he's really all about. And so to begin with, one of Mr. Newt's primary advisors is a Jewish advisor. He's named Schechtman. And Schechtman practices Freudian psychoanalysis and something called, get this now, primal therapy. Now, in primal therapy, this Jewish psychoanalyst makes his subject express anger or rage by throwing violent tantrums. And of course, this primal rage is the very opposite of what we would call Christian methods, that is, the method of self-control or self-government. Now, Congressman Maxine Waters, who is one of Newt's colleagues, said that Negroes were motivated by something called black rage. In addition, Jewish psychoanalysts and the politicians in their shirt pockets say that black rage is a proper way for minorities to express their political beliefs. But I would suggest that black rage is nothing more than what is named above as primal rage, and as such rage that we witnessed in the Los Angeles City riots back in 1992. Now, Newt is also in their corner by his close affiliation with Morris Schechtman, and of course, Mr. Newt is in their black rage corner by wanting to continue the federal socialist welfare state by handing out the state's money so that they can hand out your money to the ghettos. But isn't it interesting that for the most part, most Christians just seem to love good old Newt Gingrich? Now, isn't that cozy? Isn't this a bright promise for America's future? Well, of course, I'm being just a little bit facetious. But if we as Christians and if we as Americans don't wake up, if we don't wake up to the latest wave of political deceit going on in this country, then I think we can say goodbye, or our last goodbyes, to what few freedoms we have left. By the way, I should point out that the Jewish connections of Mr. Newt do not end with Schechtman and Toffler either. There are so many Jewish tentacles and claws in him, they extend to about everything that Mr. Newt touches, and that means that virtually everything the Republican Congress is now doing has an Antichrist Jewish taint about it. And so let's take a closer look at this problem. Now, for those of you who are not aware of how the U.S. Congress conducts its business, the process of writing and passing new legislation is something of a mystery. And, of course, that's the way the enemies of America want it. They don't want you to know, so you won't get your mixed up, confused Christian values involved in the political arena. They don't really want you to know where the power resides and how that power is turned on and how that power is turned off. But anyhow, when a particular political party controls a majority of the seats in either the House or the Senate, for that matter, that party also controls all of the various committees and subcommittees in Congress. And these committees and these subcommittees are very, very important because that's where the real power in Congress resides. Because these committees are where legislation is first proposed, where it's amended, where it's readied for the vote for the full House or for the Senate, for that matter, again. And these committees are also where proposed legislation is tabled, held up, or delayed, however you want to view that. And so, the chairman of these various committees, single-handedly now, have the authority and the power to table any legislation they so choose. Of course, we must remember that those committee chairmen serve at the pleasure of Congressman Newt Gingrich. By tabling proposed legislation, the chairman of any given committee can literally crush legislation that has worked its way through the process up to that point. Therefore, at this time, the Republicans have enormous power to propose and dispose of new laws as they so please. Now, having said all that, I want to state that the Contract for America, as it appears, does have some good ideas in it, but those ideas are simply selling points for the general voting public. They are selling points for legislation that has yet to be proposed and submitted for a congressional vote. Now, some of the bills coming out of the Republican Congress are said to be based on the Contract for America, but obviously, the way they are turning them out, they do not correspond to anything we see written in that particular contract. Now, I have mentioned House Resolution Number 666, strange number, but anyhow, House Resolution 666 and House Resolution 666 would make warrantless searches by government officials the law of the land. Thus, House Resolution Number 666 would essentially do away with the Constitution's Fourth Amendment and the Fourth Amendment's exclusionary rule prohibiting unreasonable search and seizure. Now, can you actually believe that? Can you believe that a so-called conservative Republican Congress proposed this bill and approved it in committee? Let's look at another example. House Resolution 97, which is called the Rapid Deployment Strike Force Act. This act would permit a standing army essentially to be created on our land and in our representative states. This standing army would also be in violation of the Constitution of the United States. It would permit even FBI agents to become soldiers and to act as a military force against you and me, that is, against our families and our homes. And so H.R. 97 is an attempt to make legal, retroactively, by the way, and for the future, to make legal what happened in places like Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and the Holocaust we witnessed in Waco, Texas. And it seems to be what the U.S. government has planned for all of us who stand up to their tyranny. And so it becomes clear that these pagan, these anti-Christian Republicans running things now are every bit as vicious as the pagan and Democrats who have been assaulting us for many years prior to their tenure. But back to Newt Gingrich and his connections with the imposters posing as Israel, a people we refer to as the Jews. In February 1995, the Baltimore Sun broke the story that Mr. Newt's wife, Marianne, had gone to work for a Jewish company. The company is called the Israeli Export Development Company, or the IEDC. Immediately, a conflict of interest arose because Mr. Newt had plugged the development of a so-called Jewish free trade zone in the Jewish-Israeli nation. Then, completely by coincidence, of course, Mrs. Gingrich went to work for the Jews in that company, selling hot properties in that Jewish free trade zone. Now, in this regard, I really like what columnist Joseph Zobran wrote concerning this story. He wrote the following, quote, "The world is full of coincidence, especially in Washington." Now, it seems that since September of 1994, just before the elections, Mrs. Gingrich has been working for this company, the IEDC. Then, after just 3 months on the job, Mrs. Gingrich was promoted to Vice President for Business Development. Can anybody say Whitewater? Can anybody say Cattlegate? It appears that here we have an instance of Newtwater or Jewgate, one or the other. But as a result of the conflict of interest charges, Mrs. Gingrich was interviewed by the Jewish journalist Donna Kahn of the Associated Press. The Jewish journalist tossed out a few softball questions, that is, to Mrs. Gingrich, which were answered with relative ease. But perhaps even more disturbing, Kahn permitted Mrs. Gingrich's boss to sit in on the interview, a man named David Yerushalmi. And Mrs. Gingrich did admit, however, that she first met Mr. Yerushalmi in the Jewish-Israeli state in August of 1993, a year before she even got the job. But we must ask ourselves, what was Mrs. Gingrich doing in Israel in the first place? Well, as it turns out, she was on an expense-paid trip sponsored by the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, or AIPAC. And AIPAC has been identified by CBS 60 Minutes program as the most notorious, powerful Jewish lobby group in the world. So it appears that the Jewess who interviewed Mrs. Gingrich and her Jewish boss was dispatched for damage control purposes. And the important questions become obvious. Just how many people have you ever met who rubbed shoulders at home and in foreign countries with the CEO of a company? And then by another coincidence, that company just happens to be working with the most powerful Republican in the House of Representatives. And then yet another coincidence, I'm sure, is that the company is also working with AIPAC, the Jewish lobby. And then finally, the ultimate coincidence, the wife of the Republican honcho gets hired by the Jewish honcho. You see, it's not just one coincidence, my brethren. No, sir, it's many, many, many coincidences. Which, of course, means that this sweetheart deal is no coincidence at all. Can anybody out there say Jewish conspiracy? Now, according to the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Newt may have improperly advanced IEDC's interests by his position in Congress. And the fact that Mr. Newt's wife got a job there is just another problematic aspect of this whole rotten scenario. This conflict of interest is especially glaring and grabs our attention because it also involves powerful Jewish special interest groups. We have also seen that there are not just one or two Jewish hooks in Newt Gingrich, but many. For example, we have seen that his top two advisors, a man named Morris Schechtman and Alvin Toffler, are both Jewish. We have also seen that Gingrich's wife is an executive with the Israeli Export Development Company, or the IEDC. This is the same company that Congressman Gingrich had pushed in Congress as part of a so-called Jewish free trade zone in the Jewish-Israeli nation. Now, just what is Gingrich doing, pushing for a free trade zone in the Jewish nation anyway? Are we supposed to believe that this is some kind of a coincidence? Are we supposed to believe that it's normal for government officials in America to promote things that will harm America? Things such as a Jewish free trade zone? Now, as we have seen, these supposed coincidences are many among this story. And as reported by the Associated Press, we learned that Mrs. Gingrich actually met with the head man or CEO of IEDC in 1993 on a vacation to the Jewish nation paid for by AIPAC, which is the most powerful Jewish lobby group in the entire world. And then there's the biggest so-called coincidence of all, the fact that Newt Gingrich plugged the IEDC Jewish Free Trade Zone using his position and influence in Congress. Well, the damage to American interests as a result of Gingrich's apparently criminal actions is immeasurable. And how so, you ask? Well, we all know that so-called free trade is not free trade at all, but in reality, it's the transfer of American companies and their assets abroad. Now, free trade was part of Karl Marx's communist theory precisely because it destroys the national worker and creates an international proletariat. Free trade destroys the middle-class jobs, and in so doing, it turns the middle class into peasants who will then work for about starvation wages. The end result of free trade is a small class of wealthy global elite and a huge peasant class throughout the world. And of course, this peasant class has little or no buying power and therefore cannot compete with the wealthy for available goods, services, and resources. And in this manner, Mr. Newt has thrown in his lot with the global elite and against the American middle class people. In addition, Gingrich has also supported NAFTA as well as GATT. You might recall that GATT treaty awarded billions of dollars to companies such as Cox Broadcasting, the Washington Post Company, the Atlanta Constitution newspaper, and other companies. And of course, these cash awards were hidden way deep down within the small print of the GATT treaty. And as best as anyone can figure out, the cash is a congressional payoff from the American taxpayer and the U.S. Treasury to private companies. But then you might ask, a payoff for what? Well, according to a consumer protection group called Common Sense, and also according to NBC News reports, Newt Gingrich received tens of thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from each of these companies. No mystery here, is there? They go on to say that all this money coming to Gingrich presents the, quoting now, danger and appearance of influence buying, end of quote. Well, I would suggest that that's putting it mildly, because apparently this money was an out-and-out bribe to Gingrich and others for supporting or sponsoring congressional support for the NAFTA and the GATT treaties. It is also some kind of a coincidence that these companies were also awarded exclusive cellular telephone service contracts into various American markets. That means that much of the GATT treaty simply gives your and my money to private corporations who have first contributed to Gingrich and other congressmen. And by the way, GATT also gives exclusive, guaranteed market regions to those companies that paid off Gingrich and others. Now, listen to this. We cannot be accused of anti-Semitism here. The man who prepared the Common Sense report on Gingrich and his Jewish corporate sponsors is himself a Jew, a man named Fred Wertheimer. Now, according to Wertheimer, the Jewish connections to Gingrich go even much further. For example, the president of the World Zionist Organization, or the WZO, is a Canadian Jew named Edgar Bronfman. But who is this man called Bronfman? Well, guess what? Bronfman owns Sigrum's, which, of course, is one of the world's largest liquor companies. And, of course, Bronfman and Sigrum's just happens to be one of Gingrich's biggest financial contributors, a part of what NBC and Common Cause call the Gingrich money machine. This Gingrich money machine reads like the who's who among Fortune 500 companies. In addition to Bronfman of the World Zionist Organization and Sigrum's, there's the Ford Motor Company, there's Amway, there's Federal Express, and there's Coca-Cola. Other Gingrich corporate sponsors include Quaker Oats, Archer Midland Daniels, which is the global grain company chaired by Dwayne Andreas of the Council on Foreign Relations. There's also an insurance collective made up of some of the biggest insurance companies in the world, all of which contributed tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to Newt Gingrich and his money machine. Now, the global elite which supports Gingrich includes a drug cartel, including Burroughs Wellcome, Monsanto, Dow Chemical, and Solvay Pharmaceuticals. And we shouldn't be surprised to learn that many of these companies have and or had legislation pending before the U.S. Congress which affects the way they do business and how much money they will make. For example, there was a congressional bill pending that affects Solvay Pharmaceuticals. And so what does Solvay do? Well, they contributed some $30,000 to Newt Gingrich. But it seems to me that this is a clear case of influence peddling and some kind of conflict of interest. But altogether, over a 10-year period, these companies and more have donated some $17 million to Newt Gingrich. Who needs to be a congressman if you've got people donating money to you like that? Of course, if you weren't a congressman, they wouldn't be getting the money. But now, according to law, even the appearance of this kind of activity seems a little bit illegal. Yet here we have Mr. Newt and his cohorts getting away with it. And brethren, I'm not done yet. Newt Gingrich has so many Jewish hooks in him that it's hard to keep count, and so here are a few more. Gingrich operates two organizations. One of them is called GOPAC, that's G-O-P-A-C, which is the GOP or Republican Political Action Committee. Another is called the Progress and Freedom Foundation. Now, we have studied progressivism in past broadcasts and found that it is just another code word among the socialists for communism or socialism. And progressivism entered the socialist lexicon back in the 1920s when anti-socialist and anti-communist feelings in America were at a high peak, so we had to have some new words. So whenever and wherever you see the words progress or progressivism, at least in the context of public policy or politics, you should know that you're dealing with socialism wearing a mask. Anyway, Gingrich operates these two organizations to raise funds for his personal treasury and to market Gingrich's books and so on. Well, as it turns out, one of the biggest contributors to these two Gingrich organizations is a man named Goldman Sachs, which is, by no strange coincidence, just happens to be a Jewish Wall Street investment banking concern. Now, Goldman Sachs was headed in 1994 by a man named Robert Rudin, who is now Bill Clinton's Secretary of the Treasury, and need I say it? Rudin is, yes, yeah, you beat me to the punch again. Robert Rudin is a Jewish person. Now remember, Rudin is in charge of the U.S. Treasury, and he's also an international banker. Well, in 1993, Rudin personally made some $26 million by trading international bonds, currency, and so on all over the world. And by the way, his company, that's Goldman Sachs, is the single biggest underwriter of Mexican pesos and Mexican bonds, I should say peso bonds, and certificates in the world. No other company on Wall Street has more exposure to Mexican pesos than Goldman Sachs. Now, you should be aware that the Mexican peso collapsed and was severely devalued in late 1994. And that peso problem continues today. And altogether, the Mexican peso has lost somewhere between half and two-thirds of what it was worth before December 1994. That means that Robert Rudin's and Goldman Sachs' investments in the peso have lost one-half to two-thirds of their value. But when the peso crashed, Bill Clinton and his Treasury Secretary, the Jew Rudin, called for Congress to approve a $40 billion bailout of their own bad investment. Yes, that's $40 billion. It's spelled with a B. And who was on the front lines calling for a congressionally mandated peso and Jewish banker bailout? Why, it was our friend, of course. It was good old Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, recipient of Goldman Sachs' contributions to his organization called GOPAC and his Progressive and Freedom Foundation. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, Newt Gingrich came to the rescue of Bill Clinton and his cronies. But the peso collapse meant that Robert Rudin's old customers and investment banking company are in danger of losing two-thirds of their money. That is, of course, if the Mexican peso does not recover. You know, as a side note, it seems to me that the Jewish capitalists on Wall Street believe that capitalism works only when totalitarian communistic policies are used in conjunction with supply and demand. It also seems like the international Jewish bankers believe that only American banks, and thus the American citizen, are to be put at risk in the global economy. That is, you don't, nor will you, see other national banks around the world bailing out the Jews or international interest like we do, like our American banks do. No, it's only the American banks. It's only the American middle-class people who are backing up those banks who always end up picking up the tab for Wall Street's mistakes. Well, I guess that way, perhaps the Jews kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. You see, they get their huge profits when their investments work out. And if they don't work out as expected, then they still make money. And at the same time, they bankrupt and destroy the American middle-class people. Now remember, that's the chief objective of the Marxist doctrine of free trade anyway, to kill off the middle class and to create a worldwide class of cheap peasant laborers for the multinational Jewish capitalists. This is how the Jews pervert capitalism and dilute it with communist theory and practice. And so, we see that Robert Rudin advised Bill Clinton to use United States government money to buy up Mexican pesos. But Pastor Bob, this was the only way to save the peso and also save Rudin's international Jewish banking outfit, Goldman Sachs and Goldman Sachs investors. When Clinton and Rudin first approached Congress about the bailout, they received enthusiastic support from Newt Gingrich. Gingrich said words to the effect, "Sure, no problem. I'll make sure that you get $40 billion, $50 billion including interest, from the American citizen and or taxpayer." Now, why do you suppose Gingrich agreed to the peso bailout? Well, he agreed because Gingrich is in the pocket of the international Jewish bankers. He agreed to help Rudin because, while at Goldman Sachs, Rudin contributed to Gingrich's GOPAC, that's GOPAC, and Progress and Freedom Foundation. These payments were nothing more than rainy day insurance, just in case the Jews needed an ace in the hole in Congress. Well, they got their ace in the hole, all right. The ace from the most powerful congressman in the United States House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich. By the way, Gingrich is not just a Jewish ally and thus a traitor to Christian Americans. Gingrich is also a closet Democrat. That's right. Did you know that never, no, not once that I'm aware of, has Newt Gingrich opposed Bill Clinton on any significant legislation or policy? That's significant now. Newt Gingrich has always voted or stood with Bill Clinton on every important policy issue, from gays in the military to NAFTA and GATT to the crime bill and to the peso bailout, and on the list goes. Yes, old Newty Boy, old Newt Gingrich, is among the most solid and best friends President Billy Boy ever had in Congress. Gingrich is even more valued by Clinton than his fellow Democrats, and that is because Gingrich delivers the Republican opposition. And we might add, Gingrich delivers the crooked Republican goose to Clinton on a silver platter. But a funny thing happened on Newt's and the Jews' way to the bank this time. You see, the rowdy pro-American freshman class of Republican congressmen said no. You know, that's all you have to do to these Jew people. All you have to do is tell them no. You don't have to shoot them. You don't have to gas them. You don't have to engage in genocide or anything like that. But that's the things they claim that Christians do to them, but we don't need to do that. We just need to say no. You and me, we will all still be called anti-Semitic because that's the standard propaganda line of the Jews. Just because we don't believe in their one world economy and giving away of our national wealth for their benefit. But I guess we will just have to accept their propaganda games as part of this battle. Anyway, the red-blooded, true American congressman got involved and just said no. They said no to Mr. Newt, President Bill, and Robert Rudin. In fact, the Washington Times reported, and this is what they said, now this is a quote, House leaders to allow debate on peso bailout. Gingrich gives in to wishes of angry GOP freshmen. So there's some hope back there. Now House Majority Whip Tom DeLay of Houston, Texas, is the second most powerful congressman, that is after Gingrich, of course. DeLay admitted that Gingrich failed to consult with him or anyone else in the House when he made the bailout promise. He also admitted that Gingrich has tried to silence Republican opposition to the bailout. Folks, I have said it before, and I will say it again. These fingerprints of political corruption bear every resemblance and likeness to a Jewish conspiracy. I mean, even some of Gingrich's own party leaders and followers admit it. Well, as you can imagine, neither Clinton nor Gingrich wanted a debate on the Jewish banking and Goldman Sachs in Congress. So instead, Clinton used his executive authority and ordered the use of a long-forgotten government fund to bail out the Mexican peso. But guess what? That government fund is also managed by the international Jewish bankers at Goldman Sachs. Interesting, huh? Oh, just a coincidence, you say? Right. So Rudin and Clinton are still getting what they want and what the Goldman Sachs bankers and customers want. And that is you. They want you, the American citizen, to still end up guaranteeing and paying for the $50 billion bailout of the Jewish Wall Street international investment bankers, chiefly Rudin and Goldman Sachs. Oh, yes, I know that in this bailout, additional funds are coming from the World Bank and a few other sources. But in the end, it is you Americans and the U.S. Treasury who are guaranteeing these funds. You see, the international bankers have arranged it so that it's a no-win situation for us Americans and the American middle class. And every time there's damage control out there in the world somewhere in the global economy, Americans will be made to bleed for it. Now, one of the most amazing facts about this whole sordid misadventure is Robert Rudin's flaunting of his Jewish power and influence, not just with Gingrich, but in general. For example, as first reported in the New York Times, when Rudin took over at the U.S. Treasury, he was supposed to sever all ties with Goldman Sachs. This step, of course, is necessary because a government official is not supposed to influence private business happenings. But instead of cutting ties with the international bankers, when Rudin landed in the Washington, he fired off a letter to his old Goldman Sachs customers. And in this letter, Rudin wrote that he was, quote, now, looking forward to working with you in my new capacity. And that's a quote, my friends, from the New York Times. In fact, according to a different report located in the Washington Times, as Treasury Secretary, Rudin has continued to work with 42 Goldman Sachs customers, including six of the most powerful financial institutions in Mexico. And yet, you and I are not supposed to notice or say anything or insinuate that this might be some kind of a Jewish conspiracy. Oh, heaven forbid, don't say that. Now, in case you are interested where I gathered this information about Newt Gingrich and his connections to Goldman Sachs, it comes primarily from Kevin Phillips' newsletter, which was cited by economist Pat Schoet on the For the People program, which is hosted, of course, by Chuck Harder. Now, Phillips should know something about what's going on. You see, he's a former Republican policy advisor, and he's now an acclaimed political author and analyst. And so, by most people's standard, his credibility is impeccable. But I suppose that now, after this, I think that his credibility will be called into question, and probably he will be called anti-Semitic by his Jewish critics. Well, in summary then, we see that Newt Gingrich, I like this Nuke word rather than Newt, but anyhow, we see that Newt Gingrich is at the center of a massive Jewish triangle of power. And anyhow, these Jewish connections of Newt Gingrich that we have explored so far are just the beginning. In an earlier broadcast, I said that Congress is driven by its committees and subcommittees which draft and schedule votes for proposed legislation. And those committees are normally controlled by senior members of the party in majority in Congress at that time. Now, the way this works is that those congressmen with the most seniority, that is, those who have been in Congress the longest, they usually get their choice of committee assignments and chairmanships. Thus, a senior congressman can lose his opportunity at chairmanship of a committee only by a couple of very rare circumstances. First of all, he may voluntarily withdraw his name from consideration, something not too many of them are prone to do, wouldn't you suspect? Second, he may be penalized for having supported the other political party, something once again is not done too often. But in this case, the Speaker of the House or the Senate chairman, that's the Vice President of the United States, of course, can use his influence to block the senior congressman from taking over a committee. Well, in the case of Newt Gingrich, we saw an even rarer instance of congressional penalty and a reward given to the Jewish special interest groups. We'll look for a minute just now at the House Appropriations Committee. You see, the House Appropriations Committee is an important committee that helps budget and spends the money of the American citizens and, of course, the U.S. government. I guess it's about second in budgetary importance, right after the House Ways and Means Committee. But instead of letting a senior congressman take over the chairmanship of that committee, Newt Gingrich intervened and appointed his own man to be in charge of the Appropriations Committee. Now, who do you suppose this man was? He is none other than Representative Robert Livingston of the state of Louisiana. And so the next thing you'd ask is, well, what is so special about Congressman Livingston? It just turns out that Livingston is beholden to Jewish special interests, just as his boss, Newt Gingrich, is. You see, way back in 1986, Livingston was honored, by the Anti-Defamation League, that's the ADL, with their Torch of Liberty Award. And this information is courtesy of former U.S. Congressman John R. Rarick. Now, we already know from previous broadcasts that the Jewish ADL does not believe in liberty, especially as Americans and Christians define the term liberty. No, sir. The ADL believes in Jewish liberty for themselves and restrictions of liberty for their critics and, of course, everyone else. Now, Congressman Livingston apparently believes that way, too, because he has done simply everything the ADL has asked him to do. And from what we have seen, Mr. Newt Gingrich, is also a paid lackey of the Jews. Well, anyhow, old Newt boy, Newt appointed Livingston as the chairman over the Appropriations Committee. Now, Livingston had previously served on the House Intelligence Subcommittee, and as we also know from recent history, U.S. intelligence has been compromised by Jewish spies like never before. And how do we know that? The former Jewish Mossad agent, a man named Victor Ostrovsky, has written about the Jewish spies working in America in his best-selling book, entitled By the Way of Deception. Now, Ostrovsky has a new bestseller out. It's entitled The Other Side of Deception. And those two books, if you read them, will leave no doubt, no question in your mind whatsoever that America's security interests have been compromised by the Jews. And yet, here we find Congressman Livingston, a rewarded, acknowledged friend of a foreign agent, namely the Jews, having sat on the House Intelligence Subcommittee, named now as chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Well, one has to wonder what really happened or what really went on in intelligence during Livingston's time of service with that subcommittee. But anyhow, since Newt Gingrich has taken the unheard-of step of promoting Livingston to budget chairman over a more senior congressman, those questions must really come to the fore at this time. Now, when it comes to the Jews and conflict of interest, Gingrich's cup runneth over. The latest revelation is that he may have conflict of interest connections with another New York-based Jewish investment banking firm, this one called Wasserstein Perella. This connection also implicates a New York-based Jewish consulting firm called Clark & Weinstock. Now, here's how this connection works. Recall, if you will, that the Republicans promised to cut funding for the leftist public broadcasting system, or PBS, which is, of course, public television. But the proposed cuts in public television would also affect the radio sister of PBS called the National Public Radio, or NPR. However, the parent organization of both NPR and PBS is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or the CPB. And I know these acronyms and companies probably don't mean much to you. But anyhow, the CPB is the group that actually receives money from Congress for public television. Well, what do we know about the CPB? Well, it has a long history of warm relations with communists, with homosexuals, with civil rights leaders, and so on and so on and so on, and their programming literally reflects it. CPB is nothing but a leftist propaganda mill, as even the nature of children's programming reflects a certain degree of liberal bias. But anyhow, the Republicans said they would cut, if not actually end, funding for the CPB. That's the Corporation, again, for Public Broadcasting. Now, according to investigative journalist, a man named George Archibald of the Washington Times, Gingrich intervened with the liberals at CPB. And with the two Jewish organizations in New York I just mentioned to get CPB off the budgetary hook. Well, as it turns out, Gingrich met with a Clark and Weinstock partner to devise a way to save public television and radio and earn $250,000 in the process. Cozy, huh? Well, now we need to know just who is this partner. Well, he is none other than former Congressman Vin Weber. And Weber is also a member of Gingrich's staff. That's right, Weber is not only a member of Gingrich's staff, he is also a paid lobbyist. A lobbyist who works for a Jewish consulting firm. And yes, the Jewish firm was paying Weber to represent the CPB. Well, we learned all about Vin Weber in our series on homosexual power. And we also know that Vin Weber is a partner in Jack Kemp's and William Bennett's Empower America, which plugs civil rights and other liberal causes. Now, Weber's former chief aide, Arne Christensen, went to work for AIPAC, that's the Jewish lobby, but he too is now on Gingrich's staff. Such a cozy coincidence, is it not? Now, one might wonder how it could be possible for Gingrich and the Republicans to cut funds for CPB. I mean, after all, the CPB was paying a member of Gingrich's staff through the Jewish firm to make sure that cuts never happen. And as I said, Weber was to get $250,000, that is, until the whole scandal was made public by the Washington Times. Then after the story broke, the CPB, of course, canceled its contract with the two Jewish firms. But before the contract was canceled, the damage had been done, and so Weber and Gingrich met over dinner to discuss how to save public broadcasting. In this regard, the Washington Times reports, quoting, "Several days after that dinner, Mr. Gingrich surprised supporters with an expression of regret for the way he had promoted the defunding of public broadcasting," end of quote. In other words, Gingrich totally reversed himself. He explained his reversal this way, saying, "I messed up totally about 3 weeks ago because I came out and said we ought to cease funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting." I think that syndicated columnist Llewellyn H. Rockwell had it correct when he predicted that Newt Gingrich, quote, "will be the first to betray the Electoral Revolution of 1994. Well, brethren, that is just part of what Newt Gingrich has done, and done in spades with the Jews, and that's why we should keep our eye on Newt, the Republican sellout. Well, back when I was a child, there was a nursery rhyme about the house that Jack built, and perhaps you remember it. Well, the Constitution of the United States refers to a House of Representatives, but this House has been missing in action for quite some time now. And currently, the House of Representatives is not the house that the people built, or even the house that Jack built, but it has become the house that the Jews built. And this House of Jews is in the process of destroying our Christian freedom in the United States, as everything from freedom of expression to freedom of religion are simply going down the tubes. And in all but name, thanks to the Jewish influence inside Congress. And so today I'm going to tell you just a little bit, and I do mean just a little bit, about the destructive house of the Jews. The Jews simply could not dominate public life in America without one very key institution, and that institution is government. And so thanks to a central government in Washington, D.C., the Jews now control, for all practical purposes, public policy. In fact, there is not one legislative bill for which the Jewish organizations have lobbied that has not been passed. And quite simply, the Jews get what they want in Washington, D.C. Congressmen who do not do what the Jews asked are lobbied and railroaded out of office. I mean, just ask former Senator Charles Percy if you don't believe me. You see, he and perhaps a dozen other congressmen have been run out of office. Not for criticizing the Jews, mind you, but merely for not doing what the Jews demanded. You see, if a congressman does what the Jews demand, he is rewarded with campaign donations. But if a congressman does not do what the Jews demand, well, his opponent receives even more money than a go-along, get-along congressman would receive. And furthermore, the Jews band together, and they organize other non-Jewish groups to vote against the independent congressman. And these groups include labor organizations, fundamentalist Judeo-Christians, and so on. But the bottom line is this. Either you do what the Jews say if you're a congressman, or you are run out of office. And so, by this process, the United States Senate has been converted into a Jewish state, and the House of Representatives has become the house that the Jews built. Now, back in November of 1994, you should recall that the Republicans swept into control of the House for the first time in some 20 years. And so, Christian hopes were high, though, that when the Republicans regained the House back in 1994, Jewish control would end. And we noticed that the freshman Republicans, in particular, came to Washington, D.C. with a sense of radical and even revolutionary independence. However, the entire Republican Party was soon bullied and cowered once again into kneeling at the feet of their Jewish masters. And here is a sample of how it happened. First of all, there is perhaps no better friend of the Jews in Congress than a man named Newt Gingrich. And Gingrich, as you should know, was named Speaker of the House, which means that he calls the shots when it comes to legislative and political strategy in the Republican Party. And so, almost overnight, Newt Gingrich became one of the most powerful political figures in America. And of course, the media attention given to him solidified his leadership. But things progressed, and slowly the truth started leaking out about who this Newt Gingrich really is. Newt Gingrich's two chief advisors are both Jews. One of them is a rabbi, and the other one is a so-called futurist named Alvin Toffler. Well, you would do well to study what has happened shortly after the Republicans came to power, for what happened confirms that old Newt was and is being controlled by his Jewish advisors. You see, as Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich has the authority to hire and to fire House personnel. Well, after the 1994 election, Gingrich announced his intent to hire a new House historian to keep track of and to write its history. And Gingrich selected a Dr. Christina Jeffery, who was at that time a professor of history at Kennesaw State College in Georgia. Now, apparently, Dr. Jeffery was named as the House historian by Gingrich because of her success at living the conservative principles of the Republican Party, or at least what used to be conservative principles of the Republican Party. And apparently, she was also so successful at living and demonstrating conservative principles that she was often called upon as a public speaker, an expert to witness in court cases and what have you. For example, in 1986, there was a big push to bring a liberal school curricula into America's public schools, and Dr. Jeffery, she spoke out against it. Well, unfortunately for her, the Jews were for the socialistic history curricula. And so back in 1986, Dr. Christina Jeffery, a mother, a historian, and a namesake of our Lord and Savior, was marked by the Jews as their enemy. Yes, someday the Jews would get Dr. Jeffery, and their opportunity came in 1995. And the Jewish hitman was none other than their fair-haired boy, Newt the Jewster Gingrich. You see, back in 1995, Newt the Jew Gingrich selected Dr. Christina Jeffery, who was at that time a professor of history at Kennesaw State College in Georgia, to become the new House historian. Well, as it turns out, back in 1986, Dr. Jeffery gave a bad review to a proposed school curricula that the Jews were pushing through Congress. You know, it was one of those liberal socialist programs that push ideology instead of teaching real academic subjects. But anyway, in 1986, Dr. Jeffery testified against this social legislation at the urging of people like Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum and a number of other Christian and conservative groups. Well, unfortunately for Dr. Jeffery, the curricula included a group of lessons centered on the so-called Jewish Holocaust. In other words, the federal government was about to fund a Jewish religious re-education program aimed at the American children. And in her testimony, Dr. Jeffery simply pointed out that the Holocaust curricula was not good history. And specifically, she said that the curricula was unbalanced and was only presented in a Jewish manner, that is, it gave Jewish opinion as to what the Holocaust was all about. moving forward in time to her hiring by Newt Gingrich in 1995. At this time, all of this would come back to haunt Mrs. Jeffrey and her family. You see, immediately after she and her family sold their home in Georgia and moved to Washington, D.C., apparently, Newt's decision to hire Dr. Jeffrey was made without consulting the Jews, and so again, apparently, Newt had to be taught a lesson so that he could become Newt the Jew. And that lesson came at the expense of Dr. Christina Jeffrey, who was appointed as the house historian. And so the Jewish network swung into action as three Jewish hitmen posing as congressmen held news conference denouncing Mrs. Jeffrey as an anti-Semite and as a sympathizer of the Ku Klux Klan in Nazi Germany. Two of these three congressmen are themselves Jews, and they are Congressman Charles E. Schumer of New York and the Jewish homosexual from Massachusetts, a man named Congressman Barney Frank. The other congressman who defamed Dr. Jeffrey is Maxine Waters, the Negress from South Central Los Angeles. Now, you should know these congressmen well, because Dr. Charles Schumer was responsible for derailing the Waco and the Ruby Ridge hearings in the House, and he is also the most vocal proponent of gun control. Well, this brings me to Congressman Barney Frank. Congressman Barney Frank is shacked up with a homosexual Jewish international banker, man named Herman Moses, who is also a Jew. Now, these two rich and powerful Jews present themselves in Washington social circles as husband and wife. Not only that, but in the late 1980s, Frank was subject of House scrutiny for operating a homosexual whorehouse out of his Washington, D.C. apartment, of all things. And as for Maxine Waters, this is the woman who fueled the Los Angeles race riot after the Rodney King trial. And so these are the people that had collectively came against Dr. Jeffrey. And these congressmen stated in the official House record that Dr. Jeffrey was a Nancy sympathizer. Never has it been proven, by the way. In addition to this, Newt Gingrich was told, he was advised by his Jewish advisors to fire Dr. Jeffrey. And so Newt the Jew Gingrich, without so much as asking Dr. Jeffrey about her 1986 testimony, fired her. And Newt the Jew's Gingrich also said from the floor of the House, as a matter of official record, that Dr. Jeffrey was pro-Nazi. No opportunity to defend what happened to justice in this country. And so, my friends, what you are witnessing here is the power of the House of Jews, and nobody is beyond their reach. Mrs. Jeffrey told a news conference that she decided to file the suit because Mr. Gingrich refused repeated overtures over the past 15 months to correct the official House record and restore her good name. I have been treated more as a pest than as a constituent whose taxes pay for the handsome salaries of congressmen and their staffs, she said. End of quote. And so it seems as though Newt promised her severance pay and employment in some other capacity, but he never delivered on either promise. And so once again, witness, my friends, the power of the House of Jews.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.